views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience some really groundbreaking ways to absolutely transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we get together with some of the foremost experts on organizational culture to help you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. So today, I am so excited and pleased to have Marlene Chisholm with us here to talk about how we can create no-drama cultures and no-drama leadership within those cultures. So this, her perspective on culture is going to help us take a look at how we can really create brilliant organizations and what might hold us back from that. Let me introduce Marlene and share a little bit about her background. Marlene Chisholm is an executive educator, consultant, and international speaker. She is the author of two commercially published books, Stop Workplace Drama in 2011 and No Drama Leadership in 2015. Marlene works with leaders to dramatically improve their leadership effectiveness and business results. From webinars to speaking engagements to on-site retreats, Marlene's message of personal responsibility and empowerment inspires and reaches a global audience. Welcome, Marlene.
Thanks for having me, Claudette.
Oh, I'm so excited you're here.
Me too.
We're going to have a great conversation, I can tell. We have a great topic. Yeah. So I know one thing that, you know, you and I were chatting a few weeks ago about the show and deciding, you know, I mean, you've written about so much, you've done so much, right? And we prioritized a few different things that we thought might be really, really helpful to listeners. And one of them was really starting to understand and define, when we talk about drama in the workplace, what do we really mean?
Well, I love that question, because when I first started doing this work, I got all kinds of answers. And so I created my own definition.
Yay.
When I would get out there and start trying to promote, you know, a no-drama workplace and so on, people would say, well, we have a lot of women because we're a healthcare practice, therefore we have a lot of drama. And I jokingly said my next book's going to be called Men Have Drama Too, because let's look at politics and sports, where there's lots of men, we see a lot of different high-powered kind of drama.
Right.
But my favorite answer was, well, I don't do drama, or I'm completely drama-free, and that's simply not really possible, because we're all human beings in this, you know, living this experience out, so we're bound to have some drama. So my thought was, is that people were defining it differently, from it being, you know, queen bees, power struggles, over-exaggeration. So my definition really encompasses everything that could be drama. So the definition I use is that drama is any obstacle to your peace or your prosperity. And the visual that I use whenever I'm in a workshop or speaking is, there's a little guy in a rowboat at the bottom left. There's an island at the top right. The island has a treasure chest that equals peace and prosperity. We are always trying to get to the island, either by ourselves or with our team, and then the obstacle is the shark. It's the barrier. It's the very thing that keeps us from getting there. So in that definition, for example, Uber is going through a lot of drama right now because of all the news that they're getting. Lack of peace and prosperity, and it's due to some of the cultural issues. So that's my definition. Any obstacle to your peace or your prosperity.
I love that definition.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just so great. Any obstacle, we all want peace and prosperity. So anything that gets in the way. So what, I don't know if you can distill it down or not, but I'm curious, mm-hmm. have you seen some general trends and themes about how drama tends to occur?
Absolutely. If you think about it, even from your personal life, and even leaders, they set the culture. They're human beings. So if you think about the worry that's going on in your mind, you know, about politics, about regulation or no regulation. If you're on the news like Uber and you're getting this kind of exposure that you don't want, that takes up residence in your head, in your mind, and it affects your leadership effectiveness. So that becomes drama until you make peace with it and know what to do and know how to move forward. So it can be a worry. It can be something real that's happened. It can be a circumstance. It can be legislation, some sort of restriction. Once you understand that it's not really about the situation, it's about how it affects you and your leadership effectiveness, your productivity, your focus, then you can start working on it, because we get real distracted by the situation. In fact, whenever I'm working with leaders one-on-one, I am sharing with them how to not get distracted in a conversation. For example, you're trying to coach an employee, but the employee goes off on a distraction such as, well, that's not fair, or let me tell you what else happened last week. As leaders, our job is to focus and align. And so when we get pulled off into, I call it the island of distraction, the island called, but that's not fair. If you go to that island, you're going to play ping pong for a while, and you're going to get really turned around. And so the same thing happens with entrepreneurs. They start going for a goal, but then there's the sparkling island. There's all the opportunities, and before long, we lose clarity, and then that's when you get that barrier, that shark, or that distracted island. So that's some examples of how it happens in your personal life, as an entrepreneur, as an executive. Any obstacle or any distraction is going to take you off focus.
And what I love about this is that it's really a way of thinking about drama, and that I don't hear a lot about. You know, when you're talking about, so, you know, something happens, like you said, there could be something external or internal in the organization. It's causing the leader stress. Mm-hmm. That person isn't, you know, handling the stress however they handle it. Maybe they start, I'm making something up, right? But maybe they yell at their, you know, executive team when they normally don't, right? They start acting the stress out, as opposed to really internally, as you're saying, internally reflecting, like, how is this impacting me? How can I stay focused, not distracted? And you said, how do I make, not that you have to love it, but how do I make peace with the fact that since it's occurring, I need to figure out what to do about it? And move forward.
You know, that's the question, really, because what this method does with this, I call it the language of the island, and it sounds very cartoonish in a way, but with adult learning theory, you know, we learn better in pictures and in visuals. When we start taking it on from this perspective and from this language, you can immediately kind of see, oh, I'm going to the distracted island. Oh, I'm going in circles. We're beating each other with the oars. There's a leak in the boat, which would be turnover. So when you start using that language, it depersonalizes it, because the biggest barrier that we as individuals or as leaders can encounter is the barrier of judging ourselves. Because once you start going down that black hole, oh, I'm terrible. I'm a bad leader. Oh my God, I've made so many mistakes. What's going to happen? The mind has this way of creating even more drama. So if you can visualize there's a shark or there's a distracted island or whatever the issue may be, and depersonalize it to know that you're a good human being with good intentions, it helps you to move forward faster instead of making the drama bigger.
Yeah, so it's really this inside game is what I'm hearing.
It is. It's an inner game. It truly is.
Game. Yeah. So how do we get to the root of drama?
So when I, throughout this work, what I found was that people would say things like, well, I'm going to nip that drama in the bud. And that's a common saying. So I'll ask people at a workshop or a facilitation, I'll say, do you agree that we should nip drama in the bud? And of course, everybody raises their hands and nods their head.
Yeah.
And I'll say, you see, that's the problem, because it's sort of like there's this field of dandelions. And one day you go out there and you take some clippers and you clip off the flower. But the seeds spread all over the place. And the next year you have a field of dandelions. So what we have to do is we have to get to the root, because the next year there's a field, because we've only gotten to the bloom. And getting to the bloom is like moving the problem person to another cubicle or another department.
Right,
okay, I nipped that in the bud. Or I gave someone a difficult job, and now they know who's boss. Well, I was an employee for years, and I can tell you that employees do undermining things when you're trying to play look who's boss. Mm-hmm. So you might think you're winning, but truly there's something going to be happening that's not going to work for your good. So getting to the root is to understand the three roots of all drama. And this is a system whereby you can look at a situation and ask yourself a series of questions. And if you can even get to one root, you're going to get to all of them. So the first root of drama is a lack of clarity. In all drama, there's always a lack of clarity. So the way that you use that is you say, I wonder where I'm unclear. Or it could be in a difficult performance conversation, you might think, well, maybe the employee is unclear of their expectations or the priorities. So once you start looking for the thread of where is there a lack of clarity, you can start to clean up drama very quickly. Because most of the time, what I say is you're either navigating the ship or you're shoveling coal. And if you feel like you are shoveling coal to keep your ship going, there's someone with more clarity, but it is not you. So as a leader, you need to be on the top deck. So there's always, number one, a lack of clarity. Number two, there's always a relationship issue. And what I mean by that, I have a different definition for relationship where it's not just about human beings, but it is about the way you think about either yourself, another person, the title of leader, the title of employee. So in other words, we have a relationship with everything, and the way we think about that thing is going to affect the outcome. So if I see employees as a cog in a wheel instead of a human being, it's going to affect my leadership. If I see leadership as people that love authority and I don't respect it, I'm going to have a trouble with leadership. So there's always a relationship issue. How am I thinking about this individual or this subject? And so finally, there's always an energetic component. And generally, I talk about that as being resistance. And so when we talk about change, I talk about the fulcrum point where everything changes is a place of willingness. And until you get to willingness, nothing changes. So in all drama, there's always a lack of clarity, a relationship issue, and always resistance, those three components.
Wow. I mean, there's so much. We could have an entire show on that in and of itself.
Yeah,
We could. And so we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to start talking, we're going to dovetail off of this and start talking about the four reasons for relationship drama. You're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley, having a great conversation with Marlene Chisholm. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world one listener at a time.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Do you want to relax more, feel happier, and be more confident? Do you want to have more success in your life? Dave Dodge has some easy, effective methods to help you release your anxiety, worry, fear, depression, and even physical pain. Tune in to Stress Buster Radio with Dave Dodge every second Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. For more information on how Dave can help you release your stress, visit StressBusterRadio.com. Skype and phone sessions are available.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Thank you.
are back on Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. For those of you just tuning in, my guest today is Marlene Chisholm, and we are talking about no drama leadership and no drama cultures. Before we dive back into our conversation, I want to make sure everybody knows how to contact Marlene. Marlene, could you share your contact info with our listeners?
Absolutely. You can go to my web at marlenechisholm.com. That's MarleneChisholm.com. Or you can call 417-831-1799 if you want to connect that way.
Oh, great. Thanks so much, Marlene. So we have been talking all about drama, the root of it, why we shouldn't be nipping it in the bud, and which really took us to the four main reasons relationship drama even exists. What have you found?
Yeah, this came later. This came well after I'd published that first book, and it was due to a problem that I had with someone in my personal life. And I seemed to have a lot of problems with this person who I liked but didn't love to be around. And I think we all have those kinds of people in our family that if it wasn't for a marriage or some sort of a relationship that created the relationship, we wouldn't be in it. And mm-hmm. I would jokingly say, well, this person was the muse for caller ID. So when you see caller ID, you know that you don't want to answer. And I had a lot of drama. And as I started examining my drama around this person, I thought, here I've written a book on how to stop workplace drama, but I have a person in my life that really, really, really just kind of gets under my skin. They're very negative. It's just exhausting to be on the phone. And what I come to realize was that the relationships in our life are there to teach us something about our own growth. And there's a big push out there and a big belief that you simply cut off negative people from your life. I don't 100% believe that, because we all get into places and pockets of negativity. What I've realized is that we're not very authentic in our relationships, and therefore we let people run over us, or we spend time on the phone when we don't want to. We do things we don't want to do. So I came up with four reasons that relationships have drama, and if you can eliminate these reasons, you will not have problems with anybody. And the first reason is the failure to speak your highest truth. Mm. So if you're not able to say to someone, hey, listen, you know, I've been kind of on the phone a lot, and it seems negative, and I want to be honest with you, this is not working for me, and we've got to shift it up. You know, because I'm feeling heavy. But instead what happens is we blow up, which I did with this person, we blow up and then blame them, when in reality we should have had a conversation, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Right.
The highest truth, not the mean truth that you feel whenever you've had all you can take and they had no clue. So the second one is the inability to set appropriate boundaries. So when, there's a longer story to this, but I want to get to the nutshell since we're on limited time.
Mm-hmm.
When this person, when I finally did speak my truth, she said, well, you know what your problem is. And I said, no, what is that? She said, you want to fix me, and I don't want to be fixed. I just want to vent. And I said, then let me be clear. I'll only let you vent for 5 minutes, because 2 hours is too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
So my appropriate boundary is, okay, I get you. I do want to fix. I'm a coach. I'm a consultant. I know there's a solution, but to just keep talking about the past forever doesn't work for me in our relationship. So for me to be able to say, that's great, I'll quit trying to fix you, but understand that there's a boundary with the griping.
Mm-hmm.
So we're unable to set appropriate boundaries. The third reason is thinking that in some way we are 100% responsible for someone else's success, well-being, or happiness. Taking on other people's issues to the point where it becomes your burden, versus having empathy but knowing that is that's their life journey, that's their challenge, and helping versus rescuing. So that third reason, thinking that you're 100% responsible for their success, well-being, or happiness. And the fourth reason is the flip side of that, is thinking that others are responsible for your success, well-being, or happiness. So if you take my personal example, my thought was if she would quit being negative, then I could be happier in our relationship. So in other words, I'm making her responsible for how I feel about her and our relationship, versus taking ownership to say, no, she's not responsible to be any way that she wants to be, but I'm responsible for setting the right boundary and speaking the truth. After doing that, it took a series of phone calls where I had to speak my truth quicker and really be honest about it. It was very difficult. It was very stressful. But we have a great relationship now. The boundaries aren't crossed anymore. I'm no longer on the phone for hours with circular conversation. It's that island that I call ping pong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did. No, I didn't. You don't understand. Yes, yes, I do. Just hear me out. No, you're being judgmental. That kind of stuff. We're not doing that stuff anymore. It doesn't happen.
What a great story. Yeah. I mean, if taking a relationship that sounds like it was, you know, very draining and not working yeah. for you and really turning it around into something that, you know, has the two of you still connected.
Absolutely. And it's a really pretty good relationship. And really, I do believe that most of the time people are willing and able to hear our highest truth. They may get defensive at first for a while, mm-hmm. but we don't have real relationship with people if we're not able to speak our highest truth. We're pretending. We're leading people on. We're leading them to believe that something's okay when it's not. This happens in marriages all the time, and believe me, it happens in the workplace. So if we learn how to speak our highest truth sooner, we have better relationships.
It's so true. It's so true. And we sometimes think, oh, what if I hurt this person's feelings? Or I don't know if I can really say that, right? Internally, we have this dialogue about it.
Yeah, you know, that's that third piece of thinking that I'm responsible for how you feel.
Right.
If I know that I'm connected to you and that I play a role, but that I'm not 100% responsible, that I am responsible for how I represent myself and I'm responsible for my intention. Mm-hmm. But if me speaking my highest truth hurts you and I still do it the best that I can, I have to let that belong to you and let you have the time to heal and approach me again. That's the real nature of the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so in the workplaces, I know you do a lot of coaching and working one-on-one work with leaders. Mm-hmm. How challenging has it been for some leaders to speak their highest truth? What have you noticed?
I think it is the most challenging of all. It is that fear that I'm going to hurt someone's feelings. And truly, a lot of it is a lack of awareness. And mm-hmm. in my second book, No Drama Leadership, I talked about four kinds of awareness. The first level is self-awareness. The second level is other awareness. The third level is spiritual awareness. And the fourth level is cultural awareness. So if I'm so other aware that I don't even notice what that's doing to the culture, or that that's draining my soul, which is what I was doing before. I'm so enmeshed in someone else's hurt that I will sacrifice myself to be that ear for 2 hours when I'm miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really helping that person. So to be too other focused means that you're not balanced. And to be so inwardly aware that all you are aware of is your feelings, how it affects you, then that's not a balance either. They all have to work together. So I think a lot of leaders, especially in supervisory frontline leaders that have to work with their people all the time, even in small offices, they become very, very other aware, and they let that open door become a revolving door.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point that we become so other aware that we forget to look at ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. What's this other person doing? If they don't, like what you said, if only this person changed, I would feel so much better, right?
Yes. Everybody calls me about their employees, but they don't call about their own leadership.
They don't call about their own. Can you fix my employees, please? Right. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm sure that's true for you, too.
Right. Exactly. I'd really like to examine my leadership. Will you coach me?
Right. No one says that. They say I've got terrible employees or a terrible boss.
Right. So one thing I was curious about, because we don't hear a lot about this connected to work very much, is the spiritual awareness.
Mm-hmm.
How do you define that or, you know, see that play out?
So how I really see that, it's not about religion or who you say your deity is, because those kind of things divide people and they separate people. But
right.
What does not separate us, what puts us all on equal playing field, is this idea that everything is energy and we are connected to something outside of ourselves, to some sort of energetic force field that gives us life, that makes us breathe, that makes us know when we're living in alignment with our highest values. When we are connected to that truth within, to our very highest values, and we are living in alignment with that, you can even have actual drama but still be at peace, because there's something within that clarity of making the right choice based on values than only focusing on relationships or only focusing on money or only focusing on one thing. To really be fully aligned is that spiritual awareness of that speaking your truth and doing it from the right intention, and to know how that feels. Because what you've seen this too, I'm sure, on Facebook and social media, there's been a lot of craziness due to politics and the surprise mm-hmm. that we all faced and what's going on. But real alignment is not about criticizing and making people wrong. It's about living your highest values and seeking to understand other people. And we are really lacking in that right now in today's time because we just want to be right. And there's something that feels juicy about a big argument and being right. And it just sparks this, it's like a bomb. It just wants to go off. But when you're in alignment, there's a joy that surpasses that. So you have to learn how to notice that. And it's about being aware of your feelings and your inner landscape.
Mm, I love that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is something many of us need to reconnect with, right? What is our inner landscape? What is our joy? Yeah, how do we realign there? Yeah.
And I've been kind of playing with that, and I've got a kind of theory around it. And so I've been posting a thought of the day on Facebook, and I'd say 2/3 of the thought of the day that I offer has something to do with that spiritual component that we all know we have. So for today, my thought was, don't confuse where you are with who you are. So where you are might be having a health problem, but who you are is someone that can overcome it. You know, where you are might be in financial turmoil or drama, but who you are is someone that can be disciplined. And so we have to overcome our circumstances, and that's the human journey, but that's the spiritual part of the human journey. And we get all hung up on this stuff because we want to talk about which religion is right, but there's something that connects every one of us regardless of what you believe or how you practice. It's something within the human being, and I call it spiritual awareness. Perhaps there would be a better term for that that wouldn't hang people up, but I kind of like to challenge people with different terms. And so mm-hmm. I do call it spiritual awareness because I want to open that dialogue. We all know it's there. Mm-hmm. And when we're in that place of spiritual awareness, we're very aligned.
Absolutely. And we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to, in a way, continue to talk about spiritual awareness, I suspect, when we also mm-hmm. talk about one of the biggest problems that leaders have. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm here with my guest, Marlene Chisholm. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanija on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, and I'm having a really great conversation today with Marlene Chisholm. We are talking about how to create no-drama cultures. Wow. And we have journeyed a lot, haven't we, in this conversation?
Yes.
Gone to lots of different lands, all within this area of drama and no drama. But one of the things I know we wanted to make sure to touch on today, because I think, and I suspect you would agree, it's so important, is one of the biggest problems that you see that leaders face. And what is that?
You know, I do love that question because it is across the board. I used to think it was at the middle or lower levels of leadership, but it's even at the C-suite. And that is that inability to initiate. It's the inability or unwillingness to initiate difficult conversations.
Oh, yes.
And it goes along with those four reasons we just talked about, you know, setting boundaries. Maybe they've let the problem go on too long. Mm-hmm. Maybe they inherited that field of dandelions, and now what do they do with it? Maybe they can't afford to lose someone to turn over, so they want to kind of walk that razor's edge and keep people. But the inability, there's many, many reasons. I'm glad to talk about those. The inability to initiate a difficult conversation, whether it's about performance or any other area, that seems to be the biggest problem.
One of the things I've often seen in my work is, you know, a leader or manager come to me and share a scenario that they're dealing with, you know, a direct report or something, someone else in the organization. And one of my first questions is usually, well, have you talked to that person? And how did the conversation go? Because that's how I, you know, think about it. And almost always, not always, but almost always, I haven't done that.
No.
And then we have a conversation about the conversation that they probably need to have. And one of the things I'm often sharing is this will not change unless you talk about it.
That's exactly right. You got to talk to the person who can actually make the decision instead of to someone else that can. We like story town, you know, we like to talk about it and process it out with someone else. And I bet you've heard this a lot too. Well, no, I haven't, but I already know what they'll say.
Oh my gosh, have I heard that? Yeah.
So that's avoiding responsibility because after all, I already know what they'll say. And what I say about that is that the reason you already know what they're going to say is because you're going to go about it talking about the same way you always do.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you're loaded for bear, they're going to be defensive. If mm-hmm. you come at it differently from a place of curiosity, a different intention, if you're willing to slow down your energy a bit, they might be more receptive. Or if you can deal with their defensiveness at first and be willing to withstand that, you can break down those barriers. Once again, that's that fulcrum point of change. That's that resistance, that lack of willingness. And what you'll see, just like what you said, the person who said, well, no, I haven't talked to them, there's resistance. They won't even talk to that person, so nothing's going to change.
And one of the sometimes when I'm you know, I delve further right into that with someone, I'm afraid to have the conversation because I'm really worried that if I have it, things will get worse. Something will come up in the conversation that I'm not going to know how to handle. Right? That there's just a lot of fear.
Yes, and I've got four reasons, actually, and there's a list of reasons, but I think these are the top four, and one of those is the lack of skill.
Mm-hmm.
Most leaders have not been trained in doing that very thing of having difficult conversations. In fact, and I bet you've seen this, people get promoted a lot of times because they were a top performer or they were very reliable. There was some kind of knowledge that they had. Did they get trained for succession planning? Did they get, you know, bridged into this role? Probably not. They probably didn't have mentoring. There probably wasn't a formal, you know, a formal program. They might have gotten along well with people before they were a leader, so there's the assumption that they're going to be a good people person. But what I've seen is they don't have the skill and they don't know how to get out of that distraction when it comes to, well, let me tell you another story, or let me tell you why that's not fair, or I'm not going to put up with that, or I've got seniority, or there's a union. How do you navigate through a conversation like that when it gets hot, when it gets fiery, when there's some truth to what they say? How do you move that forward? Leaders haven't been trained on that. And what happens is the leader does not have an identity of being leader when they first get into leadership on the frontline level or whatever promotion they get. They have to, there's some time that has to be spent getting into the identity, and they have to take this ownership of a whole new, who am I? I'm a leader now. What does that look like? What's that feel like? So what I see happening is that leaders either try to be the best friend of everybody because they think, well, if I get along with people, then they'll be good workers. Or they find that doesn't work, and then they try to lay down the hammer. So there's two extremes that happen because of not having the skills.
Yeah, and I've seen that too, absolutely, right? The person, well, I can't talk to that person because everyone likes me, and I'm going to keep it that way, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm going to alienate people. Yeah, absolutely. And it's so interesting that it seems to me that the ability to have a difficult conversation or resolve a conflict, share our highest truths, is the foundation of so much of what we have to do when we're leaders.
It does. And a lot of that is learning how to set the right intention before you go into a conversation, and then knowing how to course correct that direction, because it's, you know, conversations are usually not linear unless you're holding a meeting, you've got an agenda, and you've got control, and it's a business meeting with not a lot of emotion. But most performance conversations, there's a fair amount of emotion entangled in that. And so you as the leader have to clean your energy, so to speak, before you begin a conversation like that, because if you don't, you're going to end up at an island you don't want to be at. So you've got to have the right intention and the right skill set to guide that conversation to an outcome.
And you've mentioned a few times throughout our conversation about, you know, leaders setting an intention for the conversation. How do you teach a leader to do that?
So in order to set an intention for the conversation, you have to think about two things. You have to think about the organizational health. So what is it that, how is this going to benefit the organization, and how is this going to benefit this person? So you have to kind of align two different objectives. So when you meet, for example, I was on a call with a client the other day, and this was the issue that came up, and there it was some great, great outcomes. But the client said, I have a person in my office that doesn't dress appropriately. She wears tight clothing. She's had a couple of kids. And at certain points, sometimes young women don't realize they go from juniors to misses, and you don't need to be wearing the same junior's clothing anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's such a personal issue that, you know, hygiene, dress appearance, well, you can cut some of that off at the quick in a way by setting right expectations at the beginning of someone getting hired. But a lot of small businesses, they don't always have all these processes. And even if they do, if they allow someone to get by with it, it still happens. So she had to have this conversation, but she set the intention by saying, look, I looked at your DISC profile, and I know that you're the kind of person that wants to make a great impression. And I know that you would never want anyone to think that you don't have it going on professionally. And I also see you as growing within our company. So my intention is to talk to you about dress code, because I think that's a barrier right now. So you see how the intention was set of, I want you to grow. I know what your motive is, but this is what's going to help our company. And in the future, what I need for you to be available to do is, if we need to go out on a sales call, then it's not just about you being at the front office and being on the phone. I may need you to go out into the field with me. So I need you to learn the skill of dressing a certain way. And that employee was able to say, you know, the truth is I don't really know how to shop, and these are just clothes I've had for the last 6-7 years, and I've never dressed myself really and gone and shopped in the Mrs. section. She said, would you go with me? I mean, that just really brought tears to my eyes, because that could have turned ugly. And it was a good conversation with a lot of growth for that employee and for the boss too.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. It's such a wonderful story. And I think, you know, in work that I do and different trainings, I've heard that come up as well, this topic of what if there's a personal hygiene issue or a dress issue, right? A dress code issue. And it's one of those things where everyone's nervous about, the leaders and managers are nervous about the conversation. It can come across as somewhat punitive. I've heard leaders, there were like sometimes managers being very, very frustrated. Like, shouldn't these people know better, right? That kind of energy. In this example, though.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say, and in this example, what I love is how it was the intention allowed for true growth and saying to the employee, I have a vision for you. I see you somewhere else. I see you growing and evolving. Yes. So it turned into this really, it sounds like, affirming conversation for the employee.
You just picked up on something. It really gave me chills. I love to talk to other consultants that have really thought deeply about this kind of stuff. One of the things that I talk about is speaking to the vision. And so it's seeing, instead of what you're doing wrong, and you're a loser, and man, you ought to know how to have hygiene, say, listen, you've got some skills here that I want to see you develop. If you want to work in this company, I see higher places for you, or I see us finding a way to excel your abilities, your leadership. Mm-hmm. However, there's a barrier right now, and that barrier is a hygiene issue, and this is really uncomfortable, but I'm doing this for the future. So here's what I want you to see. Mm-hmm. 3 years from now, we'll look back at this and we'll laugh and we'll say, man, that was uncomfortable, but I'm so glad she had the conversation, because we all have places where we're not aware.
Right.
You know, and so to be able to do it from a non-judgmental place, again, as a leader, especially an owner, when you're worried about revenues and marketing and everything, you know, in a maybe a small to medium enterprise, you truly have to clean your energy before you have these conversations. You can't just do it on the fly until you've practiced it enough and have enough self and other awareness to know that you're aligned.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's the key.
Yeah, that is really the key. Like you said, cleaning your energy, staying aligned, you know, really having the intention and having thought it through. Absolutely. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to continue this really fascinating conversation by focusing on some of the three core components of enlightened leadership. And this comes right from Marlene's latest book. But before we take that break, Marlene, would you like to share your contact information one more time for our listeners?
Yes, you can contact me by email at marlene@marlenechisholm.com. or the web, www.marlenechisholm.com, or 417-831-1799.
Thanks so much. This is Claudette Rowley on Cultural Brilliance Radio, and stay tuned. We will be right back.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Do you feel that there's a bigger, better life for you? Is there anything holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? If you'd like to find your life's true purpose and calling, join the world's foremost authority on primal spirituality, David Karsher, in Becoming a Sun Radio, emotional and spiritual intelligence for a happy, fulfilling life. Tune in once a month to Becoming a Sun Radio with David Karsher on the Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit davidkarsher.com today.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
When your body is awakened, your spirit comes alive. Dana Canetto is a transformational guide, embodiment coach, and spiritual mentor assisting women in realigning with their truth and embodying who they are by connecting to the wisdom of their body. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network for Body Divinity Radio with Dana Canetto. For more information on Dana and her services, visit danacanetto.com. That's DanaCanetto.com.
We're back back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, here with my guest today, Marlene Chisholm, who is the author of No Drama Leadership. And we have been talking about how no drama leadership can really create some great organizational cultures. One of the things that Marlene has written about extensively are the three core components of enlightened leadership. And Marlene, I'd love to have you share those with us.
Okay. So enlightened leadership, from the writing that I do, is the aligned, aware, and accountable. So it's fairly easy to remember because it's three A's. Mm-hmm. And we've talked quite a bit about awareness already, but I'll say a few things about alignment. You can then ask me wherever you want to go. Accountability is kind of an interesting topic too.
Yeah. But
aligned, it's that I look at alignment, instead of a straight line, it's really more about harmony. Because mm-hmm. in today's complex world, we have to manage multiple priorities that sometimes fight for attention. And what conflict really is it's sort of like an arrow going to the left, but an arrow going to the right. Mm-hmm. There's competing priorities. And if we can get it to where there's a range, to where it's sort of like an orchestra, when they're warming up, it sounds terrible. It's really screechy and there's no harmony. There's nothing that works together. But when they all get into tune and they start playing together, sometimes there's a violin that's the main show, and sometimes it's something else. There's another instrument. There's a clarinet. Sometimes there's two instruments that play together. So it's always sort of harmonic and musical when we're really in alignment. And when we're off balance, not only can we feel it, it starts showing up in our results. So we start to see drama where there's a lack of alignment, and everything's about alignment. And again, I say leadership, if it's about anything, it's about alignment, and alignment is about focused energy. So when that energy is really focused, it all works together, and all these priorities tend to, they kind of go back and forth depending on what's priority at the moment, but it still stays in that alignment. You don't drop it. So it's not people versus profits. It's not balance versus work. It's both and. And that's what real alignment and harmony is. We're really into a way of thinking in our world that's very much black and white. But harmony is really colorful. It's about both and it's about blending. So then aware, we talked about those four areas. And then the last one is accountability, accountable.
Yeah, so tell us about accountability. Because we really talked about that today. Yeah.
I'm very willing, because that, to me, I was confused. For the longest time, I really had confusion about what is the difference between responsibility and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
So as usual, I like to create my own distinctions, my own language, because once you work within an agreed upon framework, you can move mountains in your culture.
Right.
So the distinction I got was this. We talk about building an accountable culture and putting in measurements, and, you know, you've got to be accountable. So here's my distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Responsibility has to come first, and then accountability is second, because responsibility is about ownership. Therefore, it's about the heart. If I take ownership of something, my heart is in it. Accountability is about the measurement. Did I get there? Do I need to course correct? Accountability is about stepping on the scales. Ownership is about saying, it's my body, I'm going on a diet. Accountability is about the witness that looks at the scales and says, yes, you're doing it, or you know what, you need to back off a little this week. But where most of us are very much afraid of accountability, because it's been used as punishment versus course correction.
Mm.
And if we truly use accountability like it should be used, if we're off base, it's not that someone's in trouble. We caught it early. We course correct early. Thank God we've got the measurements. Thank God we've got the scales. We want to hit the mark as often as we can. But accountability isn't, whenever it becomes about accountability instead of responsibility, people, what I have found is they will skew the numbers in order to not get in trouble or in order to get the raise. They will skew the numbers. They're being accountable to some fake system. Ownership is a whole different ballgame.
Ownership is a whole different ballgame. And I know I was really intrigued by what you said, and this makes sense to me, but it's about the heart.
Yeah.
And
the head and the heart work together, that's where the brilliance is.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest example that I can really come up with, and you can apply it universally to your corporate job or your organization, your leadership role, the easiest example that's universal to everybody, it is when you get out of shape and overweight and you decide that you're going to lose weight. And you go to a place like Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers, and you've got a witness there. There's accountability. There's measurements set up for you. You can wear lighter sweatpants the next time you go to weigh, because you get you know, they clap for, yay, you've lost a half a pound, but you know good and well that you just starved yourself last night and you haven't been eating healthy and you wore lighter clothes today.
Right.
So
right.
Real ownership is about, okay, I know I've been eating a little bit more and I'm just going to go and clock that in because I've got to be honest about it. Real ownership is about authenticity. It's about honesty. It's about taking it on, not just getting someone's approval.
Yeah, I love that. What you're saying, it's about authenticity. And I talk a lot about authenticity too in my work, right? But this piece around, and I think you mentioned accountability has gotten this sometimes negative reputation. And I sometimes hear ownership the same way in organizations. Like, yeah, there's just such a lack of ownership here, right? But it's more punitive. It's not like you're saying, let's connect with the heart and the head. Let's tell the truth about what's actually happening.
Yeah, you know, there was a recent, I don't know if you read about this, but I'm starting to kind of see little blips come back up on the radar, but like Wells Fargo, they were, signing up new accounts that weren't authorized, and, you know, they got bonuses for that. They got accolades from that, and everybody at the top is saying, oh, we didn't have any idea this was going on. Well, yeah, you know what, really? So there you see this system where we're checking it off. Hey, we're making it happen. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Wall Street. We see, you know, what we call fake news, fake information, because it spurs people to buy stocks. It spurs people to invest. But real accountability is about the truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth is sometimes painful, and it shouldn't be punitive, because truly, if you had ownership, accountability, people seek it. They seek it whenever they really own something, when they own the process, when they want to see the result. And sometimes there are reasons why you don't make your numbers or you don't get the gig or whatever it may be, there are reasons. And that's how accountability is to be used, not just as a number only, but to understand the whole picture.
You know, how we got to where we got to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what can we learn from it?
Yeah, but we don't use it that way. We fire people if they can't meet numbers, when the truth is nobody can unless they cheat.
You know
what I'm saying? And I worked, I mean, I was a factory worker for 21 years, and I worked in where they made the sliced singles that everybody buys for their kids to put on sandwiches. And there was government regulations about how much that cheese had to weigh per slice. But what happens is when you get underweight, there's an electric eye and it makes these products drop, and you waste a lot of product and you have a lot of downtime. Well, we're supposed to keep tabs on that. But if we get underweight, we would tape up that electric eye and slap another piece of cheese on there. You're still kind of getting to the same end result, but you're punished for the mistake. And it's not sometimes your mistake. Sometimes it's the formula. Mm-hmm. And the real accountability is to know what changed. Mm-hmm. But because people get punished for it, they tape up that eye and slap another piece of cheese on, because there is a law against underweights. Mm-hmm. And so, but you're going to get punished if you tell the truth. So you have to set up your system so that accountability works for you.
Right. So we're not going to punish people for telling the truth, because that doesn't really make any sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That doesn't connect in a really, really logical way. So we just have about a minute left. And I was curious, as we're wrapping up, do you have a personal message or one thing you'd really love listeners to take away from today?
Yeah, I think there's several. And, you know, one is that if you're struggling in any area, clarity can change any situation. That's what I know, is that clarity can change any situation. So always look at your own clarity before looking at someone else, because also what can change any situation is just elevating your awareness. The more aware you are, the more responsible you can be. And so real responsibility is the recognition of choice. If you don't see choices, you're not able to be responsible. So those are kind of my messages. It's about empowerment. It's about responsibility. It's about using the tools of awareness and clarity to move forward.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here, Marlene. Such great messages and such a really, really interesting show that I think a lot of our listeners can take a lot away from.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Oh, it was a pleasure. And thanks for sharing this great information. Those of you who are listening, Marlene gave out her contact information. I highly recommend her book, No Drama Leadership. I loved it and found it really, really valuable. I want to thank all of you for tuning into Cultural Brilliance Radio. I had a great time. Please join me in the second and fourth Fridays of the month at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And in a couple of weeks, we will be talking about how to resolve conflict in a dignified way in organizations. Thanks so much. See you back here next time.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, with Claudette Rowley. conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at claudetterowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.